Welcome to In Plain Sight, Jeremy from Kentucky, Republic Broadcasting Network. Please go to republicbroadcasting.org, smash the donate, send the fundage, mail your check or money order payable to RBN. Mail it to 2251 Double Creek Drive, Suite 302, Round Rock, Texas, 78664. Call in your debit or credit card number to 1-800-724-2719, extension 3. And keep free speech alive. If everybody hearing my voice would just donate at least a couple of bucks, then we could really get RBN in the black, back in black. If you want to donate to me after you've donated to RBN, I will have a GoFundMe site. The website is on my, the link is on my show description. And it's to rebuild my work truck, to give me a little fundage to get through this spring. Also, I have a Cash App. And if you want to mail a check or money order payable to me, you can email me at patrickandjeremyshow@yahoo.com, also in the show description. And I'll give you that address where we do a rundown of the news. And at the top of the news is the Chi-Coms sending a spy balloon to scavenge over the breadth of the U.S. and try to discover all of our military secrets. And Beijing Joe let that balloon float around for lo these many days before he shot it down, because he's totally in the pocket of the chinks. Am I right? About 3/4 of his cabinet are Chinamen. It makes sense that he would let the balloon just pick up all the secrets that it can, because that's how he is. From NBC News, downed Chinese balloon was 200 feet tall, according to the U.S. military. The suspected Chinese spy balloon that the U.S. shot down over the weekend was 200 feet tall, according to officials, or roughly 4 times the size of the Snoopy balloon at the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade. General Glenn Van Herk, commander of the North American Aerospace Defense Command, also known to normies as NORAD, and U.S. Northern Command, told reporters in a briefing that the balloon that slowly made its way across the U.S. last week before being brought down on Saturday was also carrying a payload that was similar in size to a regional jetliner. The payload probably weighs in excess of a couple of 1,000 pounds, Van Herk said. Republicans and some Democrats have criticized Joe Biden for failing to bring down the balloon carrier. But Van Herk said in this instance, size did matter. The height of the balloon was comparable to a 20-story building over twice as tall as the 2022 Rockefeller Center Christmas tree. The size of the payload were factors in the decision-making process to wait to shoot it down until it was over the Atlantic Ocean, he said. An F-22 Raptor fighter jet took the balloon down with a Sidewinder missile when it was about 6 miles off coast, according to the Pentagon. Yes, that's right, Chinaman. You want to mess with America and spy on us? We'll put a boot in your ass. That's how we roll. That's how we be. Because you don't mess with America.
We'll always recognize when we see your glory flying. There's a lot of men dead, so we can sleep in peace at night when we lay down our heads. My daddy served in the army. We lost his right eye, but he flew a flag out in a...
Pentagon officials said last week that they didn't want to shoot the balloon down over continental U.S. for fear that the debris could cause civilian injuries or death and property damage.
Now this nation that I love is falling under attack. A mighty sucker punch came flying in from somewhere in the back.
The balloon had been flying at about 60,000 feet, close to 12 miles. Vanderhoek said that another concern was that the balloon could have been carrying explosives.
Hey, Uncle Sam, put your name at the top of his list. And the Statue of Liberty started shaking her fist. And an eagle will fly, and it's gonna be here. When you hear Mother Freedom start ringing her bell, and it'll feel like the whole wide world is raining down on you.
Military divers were in the water with robotic underwater equipment, collecting the debris. As of Monday afternoon, the debris field off of the South Carolina coast was about 1,500 square meters, or about 15 football fields by 15 football fields, according to the general.
Oh, justice will be served and the battle will rage. This big dog will fight when you rattle his cage. You'll be sorry that you mess with the U.S. of A. Cause we'll put a boot in your ass. It's the American way.
We are still in the recovery of this device and still trying to gain more intelligence about it, according to White House National Security Council spokesman John Kirby. Vanderhoek said the military took maximum protective measures to prevent any intelligence collection while the balloon flew across the United States. We did not assess this balloon posed a significant collection hazard beyond what already exists in actionable technical means from the Chinese, he said. And officials believe they learned more by monitoring the balloon itself. Gave us the opportunity to assess what they were actually doing and what kind of capabilities existed on the balloon and what kind of transmission capabilities existed, according to Vanderhoek. We were able to get significant analysis through this process. The Chinese Foreign Ministry has acknowledged that the balloon came from China, but claimed that its website, that it is a, quote, civilian airship used for research, mainly meteorological purposes, and it had deviated far from its planned course because of strong winds and lack of steering capability. But Pentagon officials dismissed those claims as hot air. They maintain that the balloon was clearly meant for surveillance. It has the ability to maneuver, according to Pentagon Press Secretary Brigadier General Pat Ryder, as he told reporters. That's right. Our military, trannies, faggots, and all of those who support them, they were there for us. They were there to protect America the Beautiful from a Chinese spy balloon. Just makes you want to go to the library and listen to Tranny Kid Story Hour, doesn't it? It makes you want to get out the checkbook and just write a check to the Ukraine, just directly. Just put the Ukraine on pay to. Sign your name. Leave it blank. The government will fill it out. Because this day, great Americans, we have been delivered from the nefarious Chinese spy balloon. Patriarchate Americans, things are not all well here in the coasts of the land of the free and the home of the brave. We have from WKMS.org, composting birds, avian flu hits West Tennessee farm. 267,000 birds are destroyed. Yes, on top of the COVID, the war in Ukraine, the plight of those who would follow in the footsteps of George Floyd, who can't breathe, and the completely nonviolent and mostly peaceful BLM and Antifa protests, amidst all of that, with Omicron and all of the different variants, we also have a bird flu that is causing us to destroy chickens by the hundreds of thousands, yea, even the millions. At least two outbreaks in Tyson Foods poultry supplier operations. The first sign of something already was the road closure on the two-lane road, the country road that goes right past Will Burton's Weekly County Farm, his fields, barns, and the one-story house he shares with his fiance and three kids, white trucks emblazoned with a seal. Whoa. Was that the Chinese balloon? No, it's gone. I hope that was not another one beaming signals into my phone. Anyway, white trucks emblazoned with the seal of Tennessee Department of Agriculture and fire and burn stickers began rolling past around the same time the family began smelling a terrible new odor. It was a distinct odor from the smell of chicken waste that has been ever present since a 16-barn industrial chicken operation, a raw meat supplier for Tyson, was moved in 2 years ago. Over Burton's objections. Within days, the smell had bloomed into an overpowering stench of rotting carcasses. The stench now permeates their home and has cost everyone in the family a good night's sleep, something Burton said his fiance's 11-year-old son with autism has struggled with the most. So this Burton, he owns a little farm, and he's got this huge Tyson farm place open next to him. So on top of the normal odors that you would expect to smell from chicken barns, there was something very, very bad here. He's smelling dead chickens. He says, my concern is that hundreds of thousands of dead chickens infected with the highly pathogenic bird flu are being left to compost on site beside my house, water sources, and stinking out the whole neighborhood. How is that safe or legal? He's losing sleep, Burton said, talking about his 11-year-old son. Teachers are sending us notes home that he's not able to concentrate. I'm getting headaches. It's just like getting hit in the face, not with chickens, but with death. And just death and rotting carcasses. The chicken farm next door to Burton, he learned, after frustrated attempts to get help from state environmental and agricultural officials, the farm next door is the site of a massive outbreak of the highly pathogenic avian influenza, a virus whose only remedy is destroying infected or exposed chickens. On Friday, state officials said that more than 267,000 birds have been destroyed in barns this week, just a few hundred feet from Mr. Burton's house. The carcasses will remain in the barns until a composting process is complete, something that can take up to a month, according to information provided Friday by Department of Agricultural spokesman. The recent national outbreak of avian flu was first detected in Tennessee in a backyard flock in Obion County in September. Since then, cases have been detected in Tipton and Bledsoe County. While some outbreaks have occurred among backyard flocks, at least two have occurred on industrial farms that serve as contractors to Tyson Foods. Scores of Tyson contract farms have proliferated in West Tennessee, often over the objection of local farmers and residents. to supply raw meat to Tyson food processing plants. All of Tennessee's reported avian flu outbreaks have been located in West Tennessee. Unfortunately, the bird flu continues to spread to farms of all sizes, according to Tennessee State Veterinarian Dr. Samantha Beatty. She said this in a January 20th news release about the outbreak next door to the Burtons. Quote, there have been 4 previous detections in Weakley County affecting backyard flocks. It's apparent this disease remains a threat to the poultry industry. State officials say the outbreaks pose no harm to human health from infected birds, but Burton has questions about the impact on his family. He said he hasn't been able to get answers from the state agriculture and environment officials. As part of containment efforts, the state established a 12.4-mile zone around the barns, requiring all commercial and backyard poultry within the zone to be tested and monitored for the virus. Let me break in here. How accurate are these tests? Are they as accurate as the COVID test, I wonder? The process of killing chickens, then compositing them inside the barns in the property adjacent to the Burton's house, was approved by the chief veterinarian, the USDA, and the Tennessee Department of Environment and Conservation, according to the Agricultural Department. That process, laid out in painstaking detail on a 31-page protocol shared by the department, consists of adding 6 to 8 foot mounds, six to eight foot mounds of carcasses, litter and feed, to a base of mulch on the barn floor, where it is then topped with a layer of sawdust-like materials. In about 28 days, the compost will be ready for removal, according to the protocol. None of the state interventions include mitigating odors, because no state agency in Tennessee regulates them. I think we should bring a convention of odors, maybe. Anyway, Burton said that he has contacted state environmental and agricultural offices, none of whom would offer help. So this dude has over 200,000 rotting chicken carcasses in the industrial chicken barns close to his property. And that's it. They're just going to let them rot for a month and then do what with them? Spread them out. They said they're going to use them as compost. I don't know. This whole avian flu thing seems like a hoax to me. And I would, like I said, highly question the tests that they are using to determine whether your chickens have the deadly bird flu. Anyway, we're up on the first break, so back on the other side on In Plain Sight.
Do you truly want to stay out of the system? Are you prepared to buy into the biggest scam since the Iraqi dinar? If not, then put your money where it belongs, in your possession, not in the hands of an international MLM cartel. At Kettle Moraine Limited, we will provide you with the finest Swiss-minted detachable gram sheets of pure 24-karat gold for hundreds of dollars less than the so-called privately issued credit cards with elusive gold backing. Gold backing? The only gold that I want is in my back pocket, not backed by promises of an operation even the U.S. Chamber of Commerce is suspect of, giving a rating of C-. To get the full story, visit Sierra Madre Precious Metals.com and go to the Valcombe Bullion Vault. Once you have read the whole story about the scam being perpetrated on an unsuspecting public and how you can avoid being a victim by purchasing these beautiful, barterable, tradable sheets of gold at tremendous savings and in the strictest of privacy, be prepared to take the steps to protect your wealth with the purchase of the real deal. Detachable 50-gram gold bars from Kettle Moraine Limited by calling 602-799-8214. Ask about our 1-ounce Valcombe detachable bars, which break into 1/10-ounce bars. And don't forget, for all of your precious metal needs, whether buying or having the need to sell, call Kettle Moraine Limited. Remember, no dinar, no celery, and no carrots. If you buy from someone else, tell them you want AU, not BS. Call Kettle Moraine LTD today at 602-799-8214. Kettle Moraine LTD, 602-799-8214.
In times like these, you can't depend on the government to keep you warm and fed, but you can depend on the Vermont Bun Baker to do just that. With a Vermont Bun Baker, you'll never be in a situation where you can't cook, bake, fry, boil water, or heat your home all at the same time. One of the most revolutionary cook stoves, wood stoves ever, the Vermont Bun Baker is available with or without soapstone veneer, a natural stone that retains heat and radiates it back into the room once the fire is out. A beautiful addition to your home, the Vermont Bun Baker has an efficiency rating well above 75% and qualifies for the wood stove tax credit. For more information, watch the Vermont Bun Baker on YouTube and live stream or visit us at www.vermontwoodstove.com. You can also reach us by calling 1-866-SOAPSTONE. Don't ever be hungry or cold because the power's gone out. With a Vermont Bun Baker, all you have to worry about is what's for dinner.
Okay, this is coming back from the break. This is Jeremy, Dr. Patrick, and Jeremy Show joined tonight for the second night in a row. Dr. Patrick Slattery, welcome to the show.
Well, thank you for having me on again, Jeremy.
Yeah, and you've been live with me on Monday night for 2 weeks straight. They're going to get used to this, you know.
That's right. I stand with the balloons and stop balloon hate. That's what I say.
So we played a segment that I pre-recorded that didn't get to be played yesterday. So that's why it's a little, it may seem a little chopped up, but I think it'll run smooth. I just wanted to comment on the last article that I covered, this bird flu epidemic. Is it an epidemic or a pandemic? I'm not sure. But it was an article from a Tennessee farm where 267,000 birds were destroyed. And, you know, this was a major Tyson chicken farm that was right next to a farmer in Tennessee, and this farmer was complaining about the stench because they had to leave the chickens rotting in the barn and compost them for like 30 days. And this was in Weakley County. The farmer's name is Will Burton, and he lives next to this chicken facility. Chicken farming is really big in West Kentucky and Tennessee. If you want to make six digits, that's pretty much the only way you're going to do it outside of going self-employed, you know, excavation or construction, and that's a lot of that's a big pain. So these farmers, you know, they'll have, you know, three or four chicken barns. Some of them will have six or eight, and it's good money, but it's a lot of hassle. It's a lot of headache. And in this particular case, what we have is the, you know, EPA coming in and demanding that you test the chickens. Now, they said in the article 267,000 chickens destroyed. Like, they didn't test all 267,000 chickens. Okay, so they tested a select sample and then declared the whole thing to be destroyed. I know some people, and I'm not going to name names, but they're good friends of mine, and they have chicken farms, and they say it is a total hassle just having to deal with the regulations from these chicken companies, Tyson and Purdue Farms. And so I think, what I personally think, is that these tests are every bit as accurate as the COVID tests, which are not accurate, and that this is just a reason to destroy the food supply. That's me being conspiratorial. I don't know, do you have any kind of a take on this avian bird flu and the destruction of chickens and the price of eggs and chickens and all that?
I really don't. I mean, it's it's outside my any kind of area of expertise I have. I will say that I feel sorry for the chickens.
Yeah. They go through a lot. The chickens, and they bring us so much joy, don't they, with eggs and buffalo
wings. And they're funny.
Yeah.
They're funny. Yeah. If you have contact with them.
Raising chickens on an industrial scale, here's the downside. This is the kicker. So I feel for this guy, this farmer in Weakley County, Tennessee, Will Burton. But, like, it says that Tyson runs this huge mega farm of chickens next to his property, but there is a local farmer and a local landowner that is responsible for, you know, it's not like Tyson, you know, is buying the land and setting up and, you know, farms themselves. Like, there is a farmer that will be held liable. And if the farmer, you know, was, you know, having to hire a bulldozer to come in and dig, you know, a 30-foot by 30-foot hole to bury these things, and that would be a lot of money. It'd probably be a bigger hole than that. Probably be like the size of a pond to bury that many chickens, like a half acre pond. So, you know, Tyson, what these chicken producers do is they hold whoever owns the land that they contract with, they'll hold them responsible. So if all, you know, 200,000 birds come down with the flu, and they have to be destroyed, you know, the farmer that owns that land is going to be liable, for everything. So if the person who is offended, Will Burton, from the stench of this compost, if he sues, it's the local farmer that lives next to him that owns that land, and those barns are going to be liable. It's not just going to be Tyson, and Tyson can get lawyers and they can take a hit, you know, a major hit financially. But this local farmer can't, that owns this land. You see what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. The farmer that contracted with Tyson, they're going to get taken down in a lawsuit.
Yeah. And I have a question. So obviously, yes. Tyson is huge in this industry. How concentrated is the power in, say, the poultry industry? There's Tyson. Does Tyson have the mammoth share of what's going on, or are there a lot of other companies that are big players?
No, there's others, you know, Purdue and West Kentucky.
The truth. You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Real news, real talk, real people. Because you can handle the truth.
Are you one of the millions of people who feel like there is a dark cloud hanging over their heads whenever they're using pharmaceutical drugs? For some, the short-term relief can turn into an opioid addiction nightmare. Have you ever wondered why CBD oil is a billion-dollar industry? It's because it works better than opioids and is actually healthy for you. However, CBD oil is stripped of all other helpful compounds found in the hemp plant. According to neuroscientists, the whole hemp plant, otherwise known as hemp paste, is even more effective than the chemically processed CBD oil. Are you ready to take back your health? You can try hemp paste by going to rbnhemppaste.com. That's rbnhemppaste.com.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
My name is John. I'm the founder of Black Owl Coffee, and I started Black Owl because I really love coffee. I've always loved coffee, and after traveling so much to Europe, South America, and trying so many different coffees that were so good, and every time I came back to the U.S., I was so disappointed with the coffee, so I figured that I had to do something about it. The biggest difference is on the beans and the roasting process, how we roast it, and how fresh it is. The fresher the roast, the better the quality. Here I have like all of the coffee. It's roasted within 1 to 2 days prior to being shipped. So it literally gets to consumers' house within 3 to 5 days after being roasted. If you like coffee, you have to try ours. It's fresh roasted. It's one of the best beans that we can get, and you will definitely see the difference.
Visit blackoutcoffee.com and use the coupon code REPUB10. That's REPUB10.
Tyson have the mammoth share of what's going on, or are there a lot of other companies that are big players?
No, there's others, Purdue and West Kentucky. They do bottleneck into just a very few, chicken producers, and you can see their names if you go to Walmart and look at the chicken and see what companies are selling the chickens. That you'll get the breakdown of just how many companies there are, but they do have a lot of say. They can make these. So a farmer, let's say that. So we have this thing in West Tennessee where one of the tire factories, was gone like 20 years ago, and that production went to Mexico or wherever. And so these farmers who are used to making good money, I mean, they're enticed into getting into contracts with the chicken producers like Tyson. And they'll have, they'll go into, $2 or $3 million debt to build, multiple chicken barns. And, you can build 2 or 3 and be talking about $500,000 or $600,000, or you could build 8 and be talking about well over 1.5, close to 2 million. And they'll basically sign their lives away. And if Tyson comes in and says, well, this isn't up to par, you've got to make $100,000 worth of repairs. Well, then the chicken farmer has to go to the bank and borrow that, because they don't have that kind of money laying around, even though they're making good money. So it's just kind of a bad situation for a lot of rural folk that own farmland here in Kentucky and Tennessee, because when they lost those good paying jobs with the tire plants that closed down, General Tire and Goodyear in Tennessee, when they lost those jobs, they had to do something to make up that income. And so they go into chicken barns because they're told it's a moneymaker. But really, it's just a type of enslavement. The farmers that I talk to feel like they're slaves to the government and these chicken companies because of all the regulations and all the things they have to do, in order to make money to support their family and support their farm. And now you got the avian flu where, they could have their entire 6 months worth of birds just destroyed because of a few, bogus tests. Yes, it's a really bad situation. No, Tyson has the ability, to answer your question, to just come in and declare the whole, all 8 or 10 chicken barns, just declare them all, unsuitable and close them down. And then the farmer would be out the expense to, meet whatever requirements that Tyson demanded to make the farm suitable.
So, what we see, this is one industry, the chicken industry within the agricultural sector. I don't know how I don't know anything about it. I don't know how common this type of arrangement is in other sectors of or other industries in the agricultural sector, in dairy or in various crops. I don't know how common this is. You do see, like, outside of agriculture, you see this type of thing. A lot of people think they work for themselves, but maybe they own a business as part of a franchise.
Right.
Or maybe they think they work, maybe they technically work for themselves, but their product they sell to, maybe a single large customer. But just regarding agriculture, is this common in other agricultural industries?
Yeah, and you see the crackdown on small farms. I would say farms worth less than $1 million. With the price of fertilizer that has skyrocketed since the Russia-Ukraine thing and the sanctions put on Russia by the West, the farmers suffer. And so what it's forced them to do is basically sell out to larger farms. And what it looks to me like is that they're trying to get rid of, smaller farms and sort of bottleneck everything and eventually just take over the larger multi-million-dollar farms. I would see a day when the government basically just, nationalizes farms. And, maybe some of those, national socialist types out there would say, well, that's a good thing, nationalization. Well, it's a good thing if the government's good and if the government cares for the people. If this government doesn't care for this people, and so the only purpose that I would see in them nationalizing farms is to have control over what's produced and control thus over the people. That's me getting a little conspiratorial, but I don't think too much. I think a lot of this is observation.
Yeah, well, and I don't have that type of experience. What I am familiar with, though, is when agricultural land was nationalized in Russia or in the Soviet Union following the so-called Russian Revolution, and in particular after the collectivization of agriculture, you had massive famines. And, people do better. People work harder on their own land. When they don't own their own land and they're effectively just employees, they don't care as much. And it didn't – so the collectivization – and the thing is the idea of the collectivization in agriculture – of agriculture in the Soviet Union was in large part because small peasants and some relatively wealthy peasants with larger holdings – their plots were too small to make tractors or other mechanization practical. And so the idea was, well, if we collectivize and we get all of these, small holders into one, we take their land and then we make them employees, we make them workers on large farms that can have tractors and silos and all these other things, then we'll have a more efficient sector. Well, the thing is, in the United States, you already have large landholdings. There's not very many small family farms anyway. Not like in a peasant society. So I can't really see anything good coming out of nationalizing agricultural land. It seems to me that agricultural land is already dangerously in the hands of too few industrial corporations and increasingly, foreign companies as well.
Yeah, that's an interesting point. Yeah, you're talking about collectivization in the Soviet Union, and we're comparing that to basically collectivization under, capitalism gone awry. Big corporations, big tech owning everything. Let me give you an example. So in Wickliffe, Kentucky, where the Ohio meets the Mississippi, you have one of the largest soybean farms in this area in the tri-state, and their biggest customer is China. So what if the U.S. government put some sort of sanction on China where you can't sell the soybeans to them?
Mm-hmm.
That could be a thing, and they could bankrupt this multi-million-dollar soybean farm in Wickliffe, Kentucky.
And that could really be a thing. That really, I mean, that's not at all far-fetched. And you look at what's gone on in the world over the past year with sanctions against Russia. And, you know, that has impacted, say, Russian exporters, but it's also impacted, those who import from Russia and those who would export to Russia. And there's plenty of people, especially more so in Europe than in the United States, but that's plenty of people. And, you know, here we are ready to, engage China. Maybe there are going to be sanctions against China because of, the balloon of doom. I don't know. It's not that far-fetched.
No, not at all. And so, you know, you see the U.S. doing sanctions on Russia. I mean, what happens when they do even harder sanctions on China? You know, how much more are the local farmers going to suffer? I mean, everybody that's not a multi-million dollar farm is going to pretty much go out of business. And I would suppose bigger farms would scoop them up. The government would scoop them up. But I think that eventually what the government wants here in America, like I said, is to nationalize farms and even these big multi-million dollar farms like the soybean place in Wickwood, and to basically just have the farmers work for the government on a, you know, on a wage grade, you know, a WG salary. And then the U.S. government could control, if soybeans are sold to China, because that would hurt China if they, stop the sale of soybeans to them, because China really is dependent on that. I'm not sure if you're familiar with that aspect of the Chinese economy. The only reason I'm familiar is that I have a lot of friends that are farmers.
I'm not surprised. Manchuria in northeastern China 100 years ago was really, really big in soybeans. And when the United States sanctioned Japan in the 1930s, in the late 1930s, they sanctioned Japan and stopped selling soybeans. So what did the Japanese do? Maybe it's the early 30s. The Japanese just took over Manchuria to get the soybeans. Soybeans were there.
And so I think we see which way this thing is going. It seems like the food shortages, the hike in prices, if you don't want to say that it's planned, the least that you can say that as it's happening, it's not being stopped. You know, some people would say, well, the food shortages are planned. The high price in eggs and chickens are planned. Well, even if you don't want to say that, like, the government could stop this with stopping all of these sanctions nonsense, but they're not. They're just doubling down on it. And they don't seem to care. It seems to be they're sort of going to incorporate this in the next step of total government control over the people, over farms. You know, I mentioned before, in conjunction with the chicken, the bird flu crisis and the hike in chickens and eggs, we have this thing, with deer. Like when you go hunt deer in deer season, you got to bring them to a government facility and have them tested for chronic wasting disease. And if they test positive, you can't keep what you've hunted. A lot of people, like, that's their living. That's how they live every year, living on deer in the freezer. You know, so how's that going to affect it? It does seem like there's sort of a concerted effort to attack the supply chains and the food supply of America.
So, you know, I don't know to what extent it's a big plan, or to what extent it's just the result of a lot of bad policies. I don't know.
Right. Well, so what's next in the prep here? Let's just see if we have anything to go to. We have just a few minutes before this next break. I wanted to mention Black History Month, because, yes, as you know, we tend to mention stuff like that. Have you seen the full clip? I think you saw part of it. Eddie Murphy on Saturday Night Live, doing this skit, and he's dressed up.
Yeah, this is over 40 years ago. It's from 1982.
Yeah.
They already had Black History Month. And Black History Month has been stupid for a long time. It's not – the cool people celebrate Black People Appreciation Month. which is more than a month long. So, and that was November and a big hunk of December.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well,
Black History Month has always been kind of fake.
No, yeah, I would totally agree. And that's why I thought, you know, we'd play this clip on the other side of the break. It's Eddie Murphy impersonating Stevie Wonder. And then one of the other Saturday Night Live actors impersonating Frank Sinatra. And they do this really funny skit where, Frank Sinatra and Stevie Wonder do this duet together, which is based on racial equality, where they do a spoof on the song Ebony and Ivory. Very, very hilarious. And I thought it would be very apt to include it in our segment to humorously mention Black History Month, because we don't really take it seriously.
Black History Month. So I guess it started in the 70s. When I was in elementary school, I don't remember Black History Month. I do remember, maybe it was around. I remember studying about Louis Armstrong. Maybe it was around. George Washington Carver. But I went to school with a lot of blacks. And, you know, the peanut butter, George Washington Carver. But so much of the history is really exaggerated and not real. And,
I was going to say, I honor Black History Month by getting a good chuckle out of three of my favorite comedians, Red Fox, Eddie Murphy, and Dave Chappelle. And Eddie Murphy just kills it in this one. Joe Piscopo plays Frank Sinatra, and Eddie Murphy plays Stevie Wonder. And it really is a great spoof on their critique of racial equality in 1982.
Yeah. Well, the thing is, you can look back at American history and you can say, maybe they're okay. Here's one of the big things, and maybe I shouldn't be talking about this right before the end of the segment and the end of our part of the show. Maybe we'll talk about it on the other side on tomorrow's show. I think one of the really complicating factors is that on the one hand, you could say, in a relatively segregated society, and blacks are going to have their own economies, their own leaders, their shops will have captive clientele. Their school rooms, will be able to cater education towards the blacks and not try to fit, round pegs and square holes and whatnot. One of the complicating things is there are blacks who can perform just fine in white classrooms, or they can do well. They can, live in and function in white society without upsetting things. And, if you're talking about school education, the high performing black, should he stay in the black school? And if he's coming over to the to the white school, what do you do? Do you put poor performing whites in with all the blacks? Anyway, I think we're running up at the end of this segment, but I'm just kicking that out there for future reference.
All right, well, back on the other side of the break with Stevie Wonder and Frank Sinatra, Ebony and Ivory.
Hanging with my wilder friend, looking for some other way to fly. And 3 days straight was no big feat to get by on no food or sleep, and crazy was becoming my new norm. I'd pass out on the bedroom floor, sleep right through the calm before the storm.
Standing 6'4", weighing 245 pounds, of crime-fighting, political science-analyzing brawn. Ladies and gentlemen, Dr. Patrick Slattery.
So, Mike, get off this anti-cicada agenda.
I'm a born-again traditional Christian, and my favorite possessions are right here on my nightstand. That would be the King James Bible and my .357 revolver.
I'd rather be ruled by Chinamen than Jews.
Cool it with the anti-Semitic remarks, right?
Just because you steal an election and terminate the republic doesn't mean you terminate the people in the republic, because we're still here.
I'm not taking the vaccine. Fuck you, Bill Gates.
There was a way forward still on January 6th. What needed to be done is to object to every single state.
The COVID-19 virus was the setup. The vaccine could very well be the bioweapon.
The Patrick and Jeremy Show, Tuesday at 9 Central and Wednesday at 1 Central.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2 today.
February is Heart Month. Every year for the month of February, to show our appreciation to Extendivite's faithful customers, we have a sale. If you would like to try Extendivite, now is the time to get a few months ahead and really give Extendivite the time to show you how it works. Most of Extendivite's long-term customers wait for this sale to stock up. People and doctors tell us about the unbelievable improvements that they have experienced in their overall health, not just the heart. Extendivite wants you to experience the power of these herbs. Get a 4-month supply for only $115 for either the capsules or tincture. Please take advantage of this once per year sale and get healthy for life. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com or find us on Amazon.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
It is useless to resist us.
Well, everything's ready. We're all set to record as soon as he gets here, Mr. Sinatra.
Good. Son, come here. How does the album sound so far?
Oh, it's excellent, Mr. Sinatra.
Thank you. That's very nice. I want to do some tunes that the young people will enjoy. That's why I'm calling this album Frank Sings Tunes the Young People Will Enjoy.
Excuse me, Mr. Sinatra, sir. He's here.
Show him in.
Yes, sir.
Stevie Wonder, you are aptly named. Like I said many times, you are truly a wonder.
Thanks a lot, Frank.
Let me ask you something. Do you do your own hair?
No, I don't.
Then you got no excuse. Little joke, Stevie, looks great. Come on over here to the piano. It's right in front of you, my friend. You're right there. There you go.
Fine. You know, Frank, I feel it is a tremendous honor to be recording with you.
Thank you, Stevie. I feel the same. I'm very much into that tune you do with the Beatle kid. What's his name? The one that looks like a broad?
His name's Paul McCartney, Frank.
Yeah, that's the dude. Would you be so kind as to run down that song for me, Stevie, please?
Ebony and ivory live together in perfect harmony. Side by
Stevie,
Stevie, hold on, Stevie. Now, something tells me that this is more than a song about playing the piano.
Frank, it's about racial equality and unity of all people.
Well, I don't understand. When I think Ebony, I think of a magazine that most people do not buy. And when I think of Ivory, I think of a soap that floats.
Ebony and Ivory are the black and white keys on the piano, Frank.
Stevie, I know that. You know that. But it's too artsy for the public, kabish? Now, I talked to the master, Sammy Kahn, and Sammy is a marvelous, marvelous songwriter. No offense, Steve. And Sammy thinks we should go with something like chocolate and vanilla. Or how about this? Life is an Eskimo pie. Why don't we take a bite?
Yeah. I'm afraid that might be a bit offensive to some people.
Hey, who cares what the Eskimos think? They don't buy records, huh? Okay, Steve. Let's see. Ebony and Ivory, huh? Ebony and Ivory. Ebony. Hey, Stevie, what the hell are we beating around the bush for? This is 1982. Let's get right to the point, huh? Here, take it from the tops. Swing it, Stevie, with a bounce, baby. You are black. I am white. Life's an Eskimo pie. Let's take a bite. That was groovy thinking, Lincoln, when you set them free. We all know cats are the same, Maine to Mexico. Good, bad, guys and chicks.
I am dark and you are light.
You are blind as a bat that I have sight. Side by side, you are my amigo. Negro, let's not fight.
Ebony and ivory, just living in perfect harmony.
We're talking salt and pepper, Sammy and Dean. Stevie and me are peachy keen.
You are white.
You are black. And who cares? Who cares, baby?
Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we have been building our online store. Well, we have been focusing on bringing you the best talk show host in the country. Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we also want our listeners to have products they can use every day and in times of emergency. We have added new products each week to our store. Your support of this network, plus products at the best prices, is a win-win situation. Check out our new store. Go to our website, republicbroadcasting.org, and click on the online store located at the top of our website. Together, we can continue to grow RBN and help our listeners prepare for the future. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on our online store or call us.
800-724-2719, extension 3. 800-724-2719, extension 3.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.